Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Probably the most valuable role is being able to actually find a deal. There's a lot of people out there that are peddling deals that aren't really deals. So being able to get your numbers together and figure out where you need to buy to actually make money is extremely important.
Best ever listeners, I want to mention Lima One Capital, and I found out about them through a guest that I was interviewing on the show, and he mentioned how he was scaling his business. He was actually buying 10 single family homes within 1 year, and I asked him, how were you able to buy 10 single family homes and how were you financing that? And he's like, oh, well, I just use an asset-based lender. I was like, who is that? And he told me it's Lima One Capital. I reached out to them afterwards, got to know them, and they are the sponsor of today's episode because they've got some unique lending programs. One of them is called Rental 30, where, as I mentioned, they're an asset-based lender. So they're lending based on the property's appraised value, as well as they look at the down payment that you're bringing to the table and the cash reserves. They'll lend up to 75% loan to value. And this is huge. This is huge because typically as a single family investor, your lending strength is based on your personal income as well as how many properties you have, how many loans you have out. There's no restrictions on portfolio size with their Rental 30 program. Go to limaonecapital.com/best ever. Sign up, learn more about their program. That's limaonecapital.com/best ever. They also have a program for fix and flippers. Even if you haven't done a fix and flip, they'll still lend to you. They've been in the business since 2010. So they've been around the block. They know their underwriting guidelines. They're not loosey-goosey, but they do have a very specific criteria that helps beginning fix and flippers get their fix and flip projects done, as well as experienced fix and flippers. They reward you as an experienced fix and flipper, and you actually get a lower interest rate and lower origination fee. Again, go to limaonecapital.com/best ever. And some legal stuff I have to say, it is Lima One Capital LLC, and the NMLS ID number is 1324403, and their address is 201 East McBee Avenue, Suite 300, Greenville, South Carolina, 29601. Again, limaonecapital.com/best ever. If you're looking for a fix and flip loan, or if you're looking for a buy and hold investment property and you're trying to finance it and you want it to be asset based, limaonecapital.com/best ever. Best ever listeners, hello. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever show. I'm Joe Fairless. This is a show where we cut out the fluff. We don't talk about any of that fluffy stuff. We only talk about the real estate investing advice that moves your business forward. So the real stuff. With us today, we got David Friedman. How you doing, David?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thanks for having me on the show.
My pleasure, my friend. And I had to have you on the show because you've got such an incredible story, a little bit about it, and then he'll get into it in more detail. David is 22 years old. He started flipping when he was 18 years old. He's now flipping 7 homes every 3 months. His dad's a business partner with them. David is a broker. Before real estate, he was a DJ for 7 years. So I got to figure out this math real quick. You started flipping at 18. Before real estate, you were a DJ for 7 years. That's put you at 11 years old. Do I have that timeline correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I had a small guitar and I sold it so I could buy my first mixer.
And then you traded up the mixer to a house. Is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened. Yep. Sold the mixer and bought a house. You know, that equipment's expensive. So.
Clearly, especially since you're based in California, and I know houses in California are expensive. David's based in San Bernardino, California.
Just say it quickly together. San Bernardino.
There we go. And you can say hi to him at dfbuyshouses.com. So, David, with that being said, you want to give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on?
We actually just got to our 8th house that we now have enough money to start flipping every 3 to 4 months. And things are rolling. Things are going great. We have a full-time construction team. We have people that are, we're hiring people. We're creating jobs. We're investing in houses in dilapidated areas. In fact, crazy story that just happened this morning. We bought a house at auction that had a $100,000 code enforcement fine. And because we're friends with the city, the city people, they actually removed the whole fine. So just doing a lot of business, trying to get creative and really flip houses and make money. It's hard to get into, but if once you get started, you do the first one, it's just, a light bulb goes on. It's been really great for me. I didn't think I'd be where I was today. I really didn't. I just got into real estate. It took me 6 months to sell my first house as a real estate agent. And but I didn't expect that I'd be 22 flipping 8 houses every 3 or 4 months. And now we're looking at commercial property. It's just going on and on. It's just getting bigger and bigger. It's been amazing. So
how did you get the money to finance that very first flip at the age of 18?
That's the hard part, is doing that first one. The first house I did was in San Bernardino, and I borrowed money from my grandfather, and he lent me $100,000, and it was a $200,000 purchase price. So we brought in a family friend for the other half of it. And on that house, I did a lot of the work myself, and now I will never do. There's a lot of things I will not do anymore after that one. So.
So family was how you financed the first one?
Yeah, family. Family and friends. Really, really important to tap into your sphere of influence. Or if you don't have one, network and make one.
So how much money did you have to complete that transaction? And what were the terms that you got that money?
I needed $200,000 to buy it. We put about $25,000 into it. And so the $25,000 I used from savings and my dad's savings. So that was our money. The terms, my grandfather, we bought it as a short sale. My grandfather lent it to us. It was kind of a sweetheart deal. It was only 5% interest. So that was a great start. And then the partner, we didn't, he got his 50% of the profit. But this partner works with us consistently now, and they've gone from doing, this half of a house with us, And now, just with that partner alone, they've given us like $500,000 to flip houses. So
just to make sure I'm clear on that first house, because I want to hone in on the first one, because I think, you know, with your story, it helps establish how you got going.
Sure.
And how you structure and how your structuring has evolved. So on your first one, you needed to buy it for $200,000. You got, and then you put $25,000 into it. Out of that $200,000, who lent you that, and at what term?
Okay, so $100,000 was my grandfather's, and he gave it to me at 5% interest only. And the other $100,000 was from a family friend who was just a partner. We didn't normally, now when we flip houses, we charge someone for doing all the work. But, you know, he got his 50% of profit and we got our 50%. So it was $100,000 from my grandfather, $100,000 from family friend.
Grandfather was 5% interest only, and the family friend was 50% of the profits.
Yeah. So I guess he got like an equity share. And then, yes, my grandpa, 5%.
Got it. Okay. And then you and your dad, 25K. How much of that 25K was yours?
Half of it. Yeah, we split it down the middle. From commissions, real estate commissions. That's the other thing too. Because we bought this as a short sale, we got a 3% commission. So we actually, up front, they gave us back $6,000. So that was a huge, I mean, that happens on a lot of houses that we buy. So being an agent has, you know, we've saved a lot of money.
So you got that done and you need to put 25K into it. So 225 all in. How much did you sell it for and how quickly?
We sold it for 275 and it took us 15 days approximately.
Wow, that's quick.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't bad. I was extremely impatient, but it worked out very well.
For those 15 days, what were your responsibilities?
So we're kind of like, I would consider myself more of like a project manager than anything else. During those, I mean, from start to finish, I found the house, I oversaw the rehab, and I put it on the MLS. I listed it, got it sold. And then, you know, we found someone, an agent brought a buyer. So, you know, we had to pay an agent's fee, and, I just saw the sale through, and then, you know, once we closed and got the money, it was just like, how can we repeat this? So
now that was 4 years ago, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
That's 4 years ago. How many total flips have you seen through from the buy, fix, and sell?
I think, let's see. So that was our first, and I think we're hitting 20, and within the next month, we should close about three more. So we'll probably be around 23, 24 within the next month.
Okay. So you've done 20 to 24, well, 20 as of this moment that we're talking, where you've seen it full cycle. How has your role evolved since that first one where you were doing the project management?
I've mainly developed into managing the contractors. So on that first flip, I did a lot of the work myself. There were a couple things like granite I didn't do and I oversaw. But right now I don't do any actual construction. I don't touch it. I hand it off to my contractor and I make sure he gets it done. So I guess I kind of have the vision for what buyers want to see when we have our end product, when we have done all the work. The other thing, one of the major roles and probably the most valuable role is the analysis, being able to actually find a deal. There's a lot of people out there that are peddling deals that aren't really deals. And so being able to get your numbers together and figure out where you need to buy to actually make money is extremely important. And that's what I've been doing, is if a deal comes my way, I run the numbers, check to see what I need to buy it for, and then make an offer. Or if I do the analysis before I go to auction, I'll do analysis for 15 or 20 properties the day before. And then maybe only two or three show up at auction, and then I go and buy them. So analysis and project management are probably the biggest roles I am involved in right now.
When you're doing the analysis, what are you looking for?
That's a really good question. What's going to be my rehab cost on this? Some of the houses we buy, we can't see the inside. So we have to expect we're going to have to replace all the flooring, all the paint, appliances, et cetera. So rehab's a big one. We need to be able to check back taxes. Usually the county websites, you can check those on. And then the really big recent one and a trend we're seeing increase more is liens. So you need to look for liens. Those are going to be, I guess, kind of like your weird expenses. When I started 3 or 4 years ago, we were mainly seeing people lose their houses at foreclosure to just non-payment, or, you know, they gave up because the house was not worth as much as they bought it for. And so when you buy it, the only thing you had to worry about was back taxes. Now, when you buy it, we have to worry. We're getting some weird houses where they just have like liens on them that are insane. Like the one we just bought that had a $100,000 lien on it. So we had to calculate that into our expenses. And it's actually a really creative way to make even more money, because if you calculate that into your expenses, the lien, and then you're able to convince the city to remove it or remove a portion of it, you just increase your profit by that amount. So it's actually, you can have a huge windfall by successfully removing liens.
And what market are you investing in?
What
city are you doing the flips in?
Oh,
I'll speak English.
No, that's okay. There's a word missing maybe. San Bernardino County. So Yucaipa, San Bernardino, Redlands, Rialto, Ontario, near the airport in Ontario. We got one in Pomona right now. We have one in Temecula. So,
and how are you finding things? Are they mainly auctions?
Yeah, I would say probably 80% of them have been auction. 20% have been either just from talking to people, letting them know what we do, or wholesalers.
What's been the least profitable one?
Oh, wow. That was one we had in Temecula. That was the first one we ever bought with a pool. Be very careful with pools. Every time you buy one with a pool, if it's not already fixed and running, that's a $10,000 bill right there. So,
and what are the numbers on that property?
Let me think. We bought it, I believe, for around $295, and we ended up only selling it for about $330, and our expenses were pretty significant on the pool. I think we spent like $20,000. So at the end of the day, we didn't lose money. I think we made about like $3,000 or $4,000, but at the end of the day, that was a scary one. We cut it close. That was a deal that we didn't find ourselves. We used to pay someone to go to auction for us to buy properties until we figured it out. So, yeah.
When you take a look at that property in particular, is it the pool? Is that the main thing that was not expected with the cost overruns?
Yeah, we expected it to be about $15,000, and then the pool was an extra $10,000. We had never rehabbed a house with a pool before, and we just didn't realize how extensive it could get. And this was actually quite a unique situation. Temecula has a very high water table, and you get what's called pop-out. And if the pool does not have water in it for a while, if you have a high water table, it'll actually flow out of the ground. So you'll have a huge hunk of concrete floating out of the ground by like 2 or 3 inches. And so we had to wait for it. We had to put water in it and wait for it to sink before we could start repairing it and do all that stuff. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That will help some best ever listener somewhere, with that tip. I know that. And I'll tell you I just found that very interesting. Hopefully I don't ever come across that, but I found that very interesting.
It's called pop out. Yeah.
Careful with the pop out in your pools, everyone. All right, David, what's your best real estate investing advice ever?
All right. So best real estate investing advice ever. Let's see.
You're not reading this, are you?
No, okay. I'm thinking.
I thought you were looking in your notes. It's like, oh no.
I thought, you know, when we first started talking, I thought of a lot of things to say, and I came up with a lot of stuff. There's tons of good advice I can give.
Based on your experience, what's your best real estate investing advice ever?
All right. You know what? If you want to get big, if you want to do something bigger than, you know, flipping a house or two a year, which I see on, you know, a lot of people's goals are to flip, you know, one or two houses or just get started, use other people's money. That's my best advice. The only way you can really expand and go from having a job to actually investing and owning a company, a real company, is by using other people's money. So that's been my experience. I'm 22. I don't have $100,000 lying around. I don't have $200,000 lying around. How else was I able to start? I would not be here today if I wasn't using other people's money and responsibly. Don't invest in something you wouldn't invest your own money in. You can't lose other people's money, or your reputation means nothing after that. So reputation is extremely important, and using other people's money. So
did you have investors for the deal that had the pool?
Actually, we have two main investors that go with us on every single deal. And then we've constantly picked up other side investors if we don't have the money for a project. So
did they make their returns on that one?
Oh, yeah. And the thing is from the beginning, we explained that, you know, there's going to be ones where you lose. We haven't lost on any yet. We've made money, even if it's a little. But the thing is, you got to go for the average. So our average right now, we've had deals that are 50% returns. We've had deals that are like that $3,000 return. Our average right now is about 16%. So you gotta keep going. You can't get stuck on one property.
How did they make the returns on that one deal if the costs were so high? How does that work?
We'll split what profit there is. So we're all 25% owners. So
who is you, your dad, and then the two other investors?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They're people that we met through, actually, college. So
you and your dad met them through college, or you met through college?
my dad went back to get his master's degree. He's 54 right now. And around when he turned 52, he went back to get his master's degree. So, people that he and I met through college, and I just graduated last year. So
it's you 25%, your dad 25%, someone that your dad met while he was getting his master's degree, 25%. Yeah. And then who's the other 25%?
That other investor,
uh-huh.
His uncle. Okay. So that's how we've kind of like, we've built this circle of referrals, and we've documented all of our flips. And then, you know, we talk about it, and, you know, people ask us what we do, and then they say, oh yeah, I'm interested. Like, I want to get involved. And so, okay, here's 100,000, like go, you know, let's buy a house. And so at this point, I think right now, I think I'm working with about six other investors besides my other two main partners. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. And on a typical deal with that 25% split that we just talked about, you, your dad, your dad's friend through college, and your dad's friend's uncle through college. You mentioned your responsibilities, which are overseeing the GC portion of it, and then doing the analysis of the deal. What are your dad's responsibilities?
My dad is kind of like, he's the guy that puts out fires. If there's an issue, like a pretty big one, let's say the house has a structural issue, he'll handle that. If there's an issue with like the city or some code enforcement, he'll handle that. If one of the investors isn't happy, he'll handle that. So he's the diplomat out of the group. He's really good at kind of finding an even ground with everyone.
Okay. So you're finding the deals, you're running the numbers, and you're overseeing the project.
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
Got it. And your two investors, are they they're putting up the money, and is that basically it?
Yeah, so even though we're all 25% owners of the company, they don't do much. And so what we decided with them is that they would actually put in more money. So they actually have 60% of the money in, and we have 40% of the money in. So someone's going to have to run these numbers. It gets complicated.
Yeah,
it gets very complicated.
Yeah.
But we get 50% of profit, even though we have only 40% of the money in. So they don't do much, but we do all the work.
That makes sense. And how is this structured? Is it an LLC that all of you have, and then that LLC invests in properties, or is every purchase its own LLC?
We use the LLC to buy all of our properties, but eventually we should probably, it's probably about time to get a second or third one. So.
Okay, so you have one LLC that each of you have 25% ownership in, and that purchases the property?
Correct, yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, good stuff. You ready for the best ever lightning round?
Sure, let's do it. Bring it on.
All right. First, a quick word from our best ever partners. My friend Michael Blanc has an ebook that you'll want to download. It's called The Secret to Raising Money to Buy Your Next Apartment Building. If you're interested in getting started with apartment buildings but don't have the cash or credit to do it yourself, then this ebook's for you, and it's free. Text the word SECRET, SECRET, to the number 38470. That's SECRET, and text it to 38470.
Best ever book you've read?
Stephen King, The Gunslinger.
Ooh, okay, that's cool. I suspect it sounds cool.
It's amazing, and it's very different from all of other Stephen King's books. There's actually a movie probably coming out. So
it's very different from every other book that every other guest has said as well as their best ever book. You're the first Stephen King reference, so congrats.
Oh, wow, thank you.
Best ever personal growth experience, and what'd you learn from it?
Probably when I was a lot younger and... No, this gets real. I was probably treating my parents really badly. I was probably being a teenager, and I'm still pretty young, so this is actually probably recent for me. And we figured it out. You know, they said they still love me, all that stuff, and blah blah blah, all the tears and stuff like that. And just kind of, it just showed me how strong a bond you can have with someone, and that like even if you mess up, there's always an opportunity to maybe fix things and make it right. So.
What was the tipping point? What was the worst day of all that for you? What'd you do?
Oh man, I can't even remember. I remember I was in Palm Springs. I remember throwing a tantrum. I probably told one of my parents to F off. That's yep. Probably what happened. That's happened a couple of times.
That generally gets under people's skin, regardless of who they are.
Yeah, it was. It was a bad day, but it all worked out. And, I have a really great support group with my family, and we've grown a lot together. So
what are the pros and cons of working with your dad?
Pros, we're very similar, but he's a little more realistic and I'm a little more ambitious. So I'm always pushing us to the point where it's, you know, high risk, let's keep going. He pulls us back. And he, you know, okay, but is that really possible? It's kind of like his style. And pros, you know, I get to see him a lot. I get to hang out with my family a lot. And cons, really the only con is not really for me, but for my mom, is she says we're always talking about business, even around family dinner, around her, and she never gets to actually just have like a talk with me about just life in general. So that's really the only con. I love hanging out with my dad. We have a good time. We make it really fun. So there's a lot more pros than cons.
Best ever deal you've done?
Okay. Yeah. Best ever deal. We bought a house. It was an inheritance. Someone knew we flipped houses, came up to us, said they lived in San Diego and the house was in San Bernardino, a pretty ghetto part. They were tired of people breaking in. They sold it to us for $100,000 and we ended up selling it for $180,000. So we made huge profit and there was almost no work to be done. We just fixed some of the doors that people had broken into. They hadn't done any damage to the house. And so I think we put $5,000 into it. So That was a pretty sweet deal. Can I do one more deal, actually?
Let's do one more deal, yeah.
All right, okay. One more deal. We knew an insurance company that we did all our commercial insurance through. She was retiring and selling her building. And so we did an all-inclusive trust deed or a wraparound. And we bought the property. We came out of pocket with $100,000, and it was a $400,000 property. That was the price that she was selling it to us for. And I think our monthly payment is something like, I don't know, like $1,500 or $2,000. And our rent right now on it is $6,000. So we cash flow like crazy on it. It's a 12,000 square foot office building that we bought for $400,000. So in California, that's like 30 something dollars per square foot. And, you'd be hard pressed to find that anywhere else. And we didn't have to go through conventional financing. So it was a super sweet deal.
Best ever way you like to give back?
Okay. Yeah, I like posting on blogs like Bigger Pockets. I get emails all the time from people trying to ask, like, you know, how did you do this? I just got one yesterday from someone saying, you know, where do I start? And so usually I'll set up a phone call with them and We'll see what their goals are, and I'll give them some advice. So that's my favorite way to get back. Also, I volunteer help with the Redlands Bicycle Race, and I volunteer at Cal State San Bernardino. So just try to do it as much as possible, as much as I can.
What's the biggest mistake you've made so far in real estate?
Oh, biggest mistake. Huh. It's a tough one. Buying a house in Ontario without looking at the liens. And we got hit with like about $30,000 in liens. So we still made good money on it, but that was completely unexpected. And that was my job. So it came up on the list of houses going to auction at last minute. And I decided to not drive it. So I didn't check out the outside. I decided to just kind of wing it and looked up the value on the internet and just went for it. And it worked out very well, but it could have been extremely bad. I actually almost bought a second note. That could have been even worse, but that didn't happen. So.
And what's the best place the best ever listeners can reach you?
Honestly, call me. I'm a pretty open person. So do you want me to give my phone number? Or?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah, you can call me at 909-486-2957. And anytime. I work all the time. I live hard and I play hard and work hard and all that stuff. So,
but don't call too much, or else your mom's gonna be upset.
Yeah. Don't call me around dinner time. That's my mom's time. So.
Well, David, thank you for being on the show and sharing your advice and how you got going at the age of 18 and doing your first flip with your family and making it happen. How it was structured, and then how you have it structured now with investors. The 25% across the board for you, your dad, your investor, and then your investor's uncle, how those relationships came about, and then getting specific into some deals that worked out really well, and then the deal that stands out as one that didn't work out as well, and talking about that pool issue and what you had to do to overcome it. So I love getting into specifics and getting into the structure of different agreements and arrangements that you have with investors and then the real numbers. So really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. I hope you have a best ever day, and we'll talk to you soon.
We will. All right. Sounds good, Joe. Have a great day.
My friend Michael Blanc has an ebook that you'll want to download. It's called The Secret to Raising Money to Buy Your Next Apartment Building. If you're interested in getting started with apartment buildings, but don't have the cash or credit to do it yourself, then this ebook's for you, and it's free. Text the word SECRET, S-E-C-R-E-T, to the number 38470. That's SECRET, and text it to 38470.